If you do have a Bible, please have it open at Acts chapter 14. Now, at some point, I'm sure that we have all been a part of or witnessed a conversation that goes something like this. A child or a teenager says to their parents, often in quite an angry way, "You never do anything for me." Have you ever witnessed this? Can you think back to a time when maybe you said something like this to your parents? There is a point in childhood or adolescence when the young person just expects all sorts of good gifts from their parents, but they don't really seem to recognize where they're coming from. They expect food on the table. They expect to be able to turn up the heating at any time. Mine haven't got to that yet, but I'm sure that point will come soon. They expect to have a mobile phone, a tablet computer, TV, games console, and the list goes on and on and on. And while deep down, they know that their parents are getting them these things, instead of recognizing them as loving gifts, they just seem to presume that they have a right to them, which results in them sometimes being ungrateful for what they have, while also demanding more. Fortunately, most people grow out of this stage, and at some point, often when the children get into their 20s, they recognize all the good things and the sacrifices that their parents have made and the things that they've done to help them have a good start in life. But while people may physically grow out of this stage, spiritually, a lot of people stay in that sort of mindset when it comes to their relationship with God. How many times have you tried talking to someone about God? You've shared the gospel with them, and the answer that you get is along the lines of, "What has God ever done for me?" Well, when this happens, it puts the Christian into a bit of an awkward position, because we recognize that all the good gifts around us, things like clean water, abundant food, a peaceful land, medical care, a democratic government, free education, these things are all available to us because God has decided that we should live in this place at this moment in history. And in addition to this, we also know that God is the source of life, he's the source of love, he's the source of everything that is good in this world. So our friend's response about questioning what God has ever done for them just startled us. And maybe we don't know what to say in the face of such spiritual ignorance. Well, if we find ourselves in this situation, it can be difficult. But the good news is that it's not an impossible situation to face. Because in our passage today, even the Apostle Paul found himself facing a situation where there was incredible spiritual ignorance, where people completely misunderstood the gospel message. And he came up with an answer to the problem, which we can use today for people who think that God has never done anything for them. When we come across people who know so little about God, what we have to do is take them back to their ABC. Now, it has been a little while since we last looked at the book of Acts. Those of you who are regular here can remember when we went through the book of Acts, and it doesn't seem like long ago, does it? It was 2016. Can you believe that? It was this time 4 years ago that we were looking at the book of Acts, and the years do fly by. So I thought I'd very quickly remind you what's going on in this passage. Paul is on his first missionary journey along with Barnabas, and they've gone from town to town sharing the gospel in what would now be Turkey. They'd started off on a few islands, they'd gone through Crete, and they looped around into Turkey. And they have seen many people saved. They have planted churches. Yet at the same time, they have also experienced difficulties and persecution. And in Acts 14, this is the point where they have just been chased out of the city of Iconium, and they've had to flee up to the mountains to what was the rural backwater town of Lystra. And the people who lived in this place were known as being primitive. It was a parochial place. It was on the very edge of the empire, close to the border that separated the Roman world from the barbarians. And the people living there, they were culturally a long way from where the people were in the more sophisticated cities. Yet despite this, Paul still preached the gospel to them. Paul was not concerned about just setting up strategic churches in influential towns with clever people. He was sent to preach the gospel to all people, including those who were considered foolish and unwise by the wider society. So in Acts 14, in 8 to 10, we see Paul standing in the town square of Lystra, and he's preaching the gospel. And it's in this unlikely setting that we see the first recorded miracle by the Apostle Paul. This is the first time that we see that he's healed someone in the book of Acts. So how do the people of Lystra react? They've heard the gospel. They've seen God's power at work. What do they do? Well, they get the wrong end of the stick altogether. And the reason we think that they did this was because of a local legend, which our archaeologists have discovered in this region of Turkey. They had a local legend about some Greek gods, and they visited a town in human form. And they went in and they asked for things from the town, and the townspeople just rejected them. So the Greek gods flattened that town and killed everyone. Now we've got this situation in Lystra. Paul and Barnabas are there. Paul has preached the gospel. He's told them about the true and living God. And he's demonstrated God's power in a miraculous way through healing this man. And he's called them to faith in Christ and repentance. And they have got it all completely wrong. The locals think that what happened in that legend is happening to them right now. They think that Barnabas, the man who was probably older and more quiet, they thought he was the Greek god Zeus. And they thought Paul, he was the spokesman of the gods, Hermes. And instead of listening to what they're saying, they just go in with what they know. And they decide that they need to sacrifice to these men in order to save their town. This idolatry was the complete opposite of the faith and repentance that the gospel should bring. However, in one sense, these people in this backwater primitive town, who were considered backward by so many people, are actually more advanced and in touch with reality than people living in our society today. Because unlike the people we talk to, they recognized that there was a spiritual world, and they understood that there were higher spiritual powers than them. They had some idea that there was something else, but they'd got their facts really mixed up, and they descended into idolatry and the worship of idols. This means that when Paul shared the truth with them, they reinterpreted it and went with what they knew. And today, people make a different sort of mistake, but in a sense, it's similar. A lot of the people that we talk to, especially younger people who are my age and younger, they don't believe in spiritual truth or God. Or if they've got any ideas, it's about a pick and mix religion where you can take whatever you want from whatever religion and combine it into your own ideas and believe whatever you want. So they have no concept of something being true and everything else being false. Rather, they think that you create your own truth for yourself. But so many people, they live as if God does not exist. Or they think that the good things that they've got, they've got because of their own hard work. They think that they're self-made people. So when you share the gospel with them, they either reject it as your truth for you and not for me, or they say, what has God ever done for me? You know, what I've got because I'm such a wonderful, clever, gifted person. Now, admittedly, this is a different mistake to what Paul is encountering in Lystra. But Paul's approach to these people is what is needed for people today. Paul took them back to their ABC, and we need to take people back to their ABC as well. When we are teaching children to write or to add up, we never start with long, complicated words and algebra, do we? We start off with, you know, letters and then simple words and then, you know, simple sums, you know, 2 + 3 and 1 + 1. And then we gradually build up to more complicated things when they've mastered the easier things. And spiritually, this is what Paul is now doing in his response to the people of Lystra. You can almost see him stopping and having to go into reverse and start at a much lower level so that the people could understand. The people of Lystra have heard and misunderstood the gospel because the truth about God is not clear in their minds. So he has to explain basic universal truths, which are just as true today as they were back then. God is the one who has created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. That's completely universal. Everything that we can see and touch, the chairs that we are sitting on, the air that surrounds us, the walls, all these are things that God has created. What we see in the night sky with telescopes, the mysteries that are revealed down a microscope, the beauty of a distant mountain, the strength of a rolling sea, the great diversity of life in every shape and form, which includes you and me, everything has been made by God. Then in addition to this, we see that God continues to provide for and care for his creation. He sends rain from the heavens, which allows the crops to grow in their seasons, the fruit and the vegetables, the food that we need to live. Then in addition to this, we see that he also fills our hearts with joy. Those good times, those special happy memories, which we all have, even if they are distant and a long time ago, all of these are good gifts from the God who loves his creation. These wonderful gifts are all a part of what's covered in the doctrine of common grace. Common grace teaches us that the things that God does for all parts of his creation, he's doing these things equally. And they're wonderful gifts that God gives to people. And they show that God loves all parts of his creation, irrespective of people acknowledging and believing in him. So they're shared with all. Hence the name common. And of course, the Christian recognizes that these things are gifts of grace. Grace is a gift that the person who receives it does not receive. And the believer who recognizes that humanity has rejected God and rebelled against him will be filled with wonder that God continues to lovingly provide for all that he has made. Just like a loving parent will continue to provide for that petulant teenager or that ungrateful child. This means there is not a person alive anywhere in the world who has not experienced something of the love of God. They just don't recognize it. And this brings us two take-home lessons. And the first one is the way that this helps us with our outreach. When it comes to sharing the gospel, we have to recognize that there's no such thing as one size fits every situation and every person. There are situations where we will just have a single contact with an individual. It may be someone who's passing us on the street. It may be someone that we're sitting next to on a bus. We're just going to see them that one time and never again. And in those situations, we don't know where they are. So we need to share the whole gospel with them. We need to teach them about the God who has made them, about how humanity's rejected and rebelled against God, and how we are all criminals in his sight. But then about how God has sent his son to be our savior, to be our substitute, to take that punishment, and how he died on the cross and then rose again from the grave to show that the price was paid, how he's now seated in glory and will one day return, and everyone will stand before him and give accounts for the things that they have done, and how forgiveness is available now for all who repent of their sins and trust in him. So when we've just got one moment to talk to someone, that's what we need to try and communicate with them. And we can do that through a tract and through a conversation. But there's other situations where we have more contact with someone. So this could be with a family member, with a neighbour, with a colleague, where there is, God willing, more time. And we can take these people back to their ABC. We have to recognise that today, people just don't believe that God exists and they're going to have to answer to him. And they are starting with an understanding of spiritual truth, which is much lower than was what was present during those years when we had the Billy Graham missions, where so many people were converted. Those people Billy Graham was talking to were people who had gone to church as children, and then they had fallen away. So they understood something about God, but they just rejected it, and he called them back to faith. Nowadays, people know virtually nothing. So we've got to be taking people back to their ABCs. It means that people today do not know as much as the people living in that primitive backwater town of Lystra all those years ago. We need to be people who are talking about how God has made all things and how he provides us with everything that is good and wonderful. Sometimes we can tell people this directly and, you know, we can just say, you know, God has made this, God has done that. Other times we can be a bit more subtle and talk about it indirectly. So if you've gone for a walk in the countryside, you've gone up to the lakes or something, and you're showing some people some pictures with good views, you can just mention how this reminds you of the greatness of God. If you're recovering from some kind of medical procedure, or maybe your friend is, then let your friend know how thankful you are to God for giving the surgeon the skill that they need. One of the good gifts that God gives us is the ability to explore his creation and discover things. So modern medical science is down to God's common grace. When we openly point to the goodness and provision of God in our own lives, how he provides us with enough food and clean water and other things, then this will provide a foundation which will open up the opportunity for a deeper conversation about God. People need to recognize that God exists first and recognize that God is good. And then we can start talking about how people are sinners, and then we can point to the cross. And it does take time, but we need to recognize that with many folk today, we need to be taking them back to their A, B, C. The second point of application from this passage is reflecting on what Paul said to the people of Lystra and thinking about how this helps us to appreciate God more. When we first become Christians, we often focus a lot on God's saving grace. But then as we mature as Christians, we become more aware of God's common grace in our own lives and in the lives of those around us. This is part of that process of having that renewed mind that we see in Romans 12, where we start to see the world around us in the way that God sees it. And one of the things that we recognize is the incredible goodness of God in providing for all that he has made. And as we reflect upon all the good that God does for us and all people, so our hearts are filled with a greater love for him and a desire to worship him more and to tell others about how loving he is. People are far more loved by God than they realize, and it does break our hearts when people don't recognize this. So something that we can do today is to try and take some time, maybe this afternoon, to think through how God has blessed you. Start with the simple things. It's Harvest Sunday, so just think about the food that is there on your plate. Are you a person who says grace before every meal, thanking God for his provision? There are many people in this world who do not have enough to eat, and what we eat in a week may be more than they eat in a month. No, we are living in a place where there is an abundance of food, a great diversity of food, and we need to give thanks for this. Clean water. Turn on the tap and clean water comes out. That's an incredible blessing. I once went to a place in rural Mozambique, and we turned up, and the second we turned up, they were really happy to see us, and the women, they picked up their jars and their plastic containers and went off walking into the bush. 4 hours later, they came back with water. 4 hours walk, there, 2 hours back, to get the water, and they had to carry the water on their heads. And they were feeling blessed at that time that water hole was still on, because the previous year they had to do a 6-hour journey and the water they got back was salty. There's still people living like that in our world today. We turn on the tap and we don't even think about it, and the water is safe. Something else that we can give thanks for. And then you can move on to the house that you live in, the land that we are in. All the benefits that this brings. These are things, these are good gifts that God has given us. Then on top of these common grace gifts, the believer, of course, can think about how the Lord has revealed himself to you and how he has saved you. Of the price that Jesus has paid so that we can be reconciled back to God. When we reflect on these things, upon how all these good gifts come from God, It helps us to worship the one who loves and provides for all that he has made. Amen.